Thank you, Ryan. Appreciate that. Let's turn to Rabbi Paul's letter to the congregation at Ephesus, Ephesians chapter 3, starting with verse 1. In this part of Ephesians, the apostle to the Gentiles reveals more about the mystery of the Messiah, that Gentile Christians are fellow heirs along with the Messianic Jewish remnant. Together, we are members of one body, one community. And all of us are sharers in the promise available because of Messiah. This reveals the wisdom of God to the angels. Joined to Messiah by becoming loyal to him, we can approach God with freedom and confidence. Earlier in this letter, Rabbi Paul had been teaching the Ephesians about the new unity between the Messianic Jewish remnant and the Gentile Christian remnant. A new unity, one new man, a new united humanity. Here, the Lord's divinely inspired representative goes into more detail, starting with verse 1. For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Messiah Yeshua, for the sake of you Gentiles, surely you have heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me for you. That is, the mystery made known to me by revelation, as I have already written briefly. In reading this, then, you will be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Messiah, which was not made known to people in other generations, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to God's holy apostles and prophets. This mystery is that through the gospel, through the good news, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and sharers together in the promise in Messiah Yeshua. For this reason, is how Paul begins this part of Ephesians 3, the reason being that with the coming of Messiah, Jews and Gentiles form a unified new humanity, a humanity that has been reconciled to God and reconciled to one another, full of peace and love and unity, with the ancient division and hostility between Jew and Gentile gone. For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Messiah Yeshua, for the sake of you Gentiles. Paul had been arrested and was in prison in Rome. And it inspires me that even though he was in jail, he was still doing something for the Lord. He had been praying, he had been witnessing, he had been writing letters to the Ephesians, to the Colossians, to others, to teach them and encourage them and correct them. This tells me that there is almost always something that we can do to serve the Lord, no matter where we are, no matter what our circumstances are. If Paul was in prison and still able to serve the Lord and pray and write letters and witness, how much more should we be able to serve the Lord, no matter what our circumstances are? For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Messiah Yeshua, for the sake of you Gentiles. Paul wanted the Messianic community in Ephesus, especially the Gentiles, the non-Jewish members, to understand that his relationship to them was special. For the sake of you Gentiles. And because it was special, they should accept what he is trying to teach them. His relationship to them was special because he was the apostle to the Gentiles, the Lord's very special Jewish representative to the non-Jewish nations. And as the apostle to the Gentiles, that gave him special authority to speak into their lives. And his relationship was also special because he was suffering for them. He was in prison for carrying out his God-ordained ministry as the apostle to the Gentiles. Suffering for someone else creates a special bond between the sufferer and the sufferee. If someone suffers for you, it intensifies the nature of the relationship. So because the rabbi from Tarsus was specially tasked by God to help the Gentiles and was suffering on behalf of those peoples, he was asking them to accept and act on the important truths he is trying to communicate to them. For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Messiah Yeshua, for the sake of you Gentiles, surely you have heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me for you, that is the mystery made known to me by revelation, as I have already written briefly. His apostleship to the Gentiles and his insight into the relationship between Jew and Gentile was already known to them. What was his insight into the Gentiles? It's something that he calls a mystery. Paul does not use the word mystery like it is commonly used today. It's not something mysterious or hard to understand. Paul uses mystery to refer to a spiritual truth that had only recently been revealed. What was this spiritual truth that had only recently been revealed that concerned the Gentiles? In reading this, then, you will be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Messiah, which was not made known to people in other generations, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to God's holy apostles and prophets. This mystery is that through the good news, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, sharers together in the promise in Messiah Yeshua. The Spirit of God had been making known to Paul and to other apostles and to new covenant prophets something that was not known to people in earlier generations, that through the proclamation and the reception of the good news, Gentile Christians become fellow heirs with the Messianic Jewish remnant and are fellow members with the Messianic Jewish remnant in one great community of salvation. The Gentile Christian remnant joins the Messianic Jewish remnant to share the wonderful promise given to those who are joined to the Jewish Messiah. God had hinted at some of these things to earlier generations, that the seed of the woman would come and crush the head of the snake. Eden's catastrophe would be fixed. The Messiah would come among the chosen people. He would rule on David's throne over Israel and the nations. He would bring peace to the whole world. These things were revealed to previous generations. But recently, God had been revealing to Messianic Jewish apostles and New Covenant prophets more spiritual truths that had not been clearly understood before. Something radically new had recently happened. The long-expected Messiah had finally arrived. But he would not rule over Israel and the nations immediately and in person on earth. Instead, after he lived a perfect life and was betrayed and arrested and tried and tortured and crucified, he rose from the dead. He was alive. He was resurrected. But instead of ruling from the throne of David over Israel and the nations, King Messiah ascended in his glorified body to heaven to the right hand of God the Father, there to await his return. Through the proclamation of the good news and the reception of the good news, the Father and the Son began pouring out their spirit into a faithful remnant of Jewish people and Gentiles chosen from among the nations. They were being joined together into a new united humanity, a new fellowship united to God the Father, Messiah the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and to one another. Jews and Gentiles are equal members of this new community, with equal status. Christians from among the nations are equal sharers, full partners in the wonderful promise given to those messianic Jews who are joined to the Messiah. The promise that because of the coming of the seed of the woman, and because of whom Messiah is, and what he has done, is doing, and will do, reconciliation to God, full and final atonement, redemption from the satanic slave market of sin and death, salvation from Satan, sin, the sin nature, and death, eternal blessing, belong equally to the Gentile Christians just as they do to the messianic Jewish remnant. They receive the promise that is essential to the Messiah, just like we do. The Messianic Jewish remnant are fellow heirs, joint recipients of all the amazing things that God promised to give the redeemed remnant of the chosen people. Things like God being our God and we being his people, that we will live forever with him, that we will be perfectly righteous one day, that we will receive everlasting praise and honor and glory, that we will live forever with unending happiness in the new heavens, the new earth, and the new Jerusalem with the three-in-one God who loves us, that we will live forever with the holy ones of all the ages, with all the sons and daughters of God, with our loved ones who have faithfully served the Lord, with the good angels and the cherubim and the seraphim and the living beings and the other creatures that will be there, that we will enjoy all the wonders of that real kingdom, drinking from the river of life which runs through the center of that beautiful city, eating from the tree of life that produces a different fruit each month and gives healing and life to all the nations, that we will have meaningful things to do, like help God rule the new universe. The faithful remnant from the nations are fellow heirs of all these things, along with the messianic Jewish saints, in this great inheritance. This special Jewish apostle to the Gentiles understood these recently revealed spiritual realities better than almost anyone else. He had unique insight into this mystery and its importance and its relevance. He wanted Messiah's community in Ephesus to understand what he understood, and for Jew and Gentile to come together in unity and work together in unity. Rabbi Paul worked hard for them. He suffered for them. He was the apostle to the Gentiles. The Ephesians needed to learn these truths from him, understand these truths, and implement them in their part of the new united humanity. And guess what? So do we. this mystery that Messianic Jews and Messianic Gentiles come together into a new united humanity is the result of the Jewish people accepting the good news and peoples from the nations accepting the same good news. The gospel, the good news, therefore, is essential to the working out of this mystery. So Paul continues, I became a servant of this gospel, this good news, by the gift of God's grace given me through the working of his power. Although I am less than the least of all the Lord's people, this grace was given to me to preach to the Gentiles the boundless riches of Messiah and to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, which for ages past was kept hidden in God, who created all things. His intent was that now, through the church, and I define the church as Messiah's new covenant community, made up of Messianic Jews and Gentile Christians called out of a dying world. His intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to his eternal purpose that he accomplished in Messiah Yeshua our Lord. Paul knew the good news. Paul was committed to proclaiming the good news to the Jewish people first, but also to the nations. Paul was passionate about the good news. Paul was focused on the proclamation of the good news. He calls himself a servant of the good news, a slave devoted to serving the good news. I became a servant of this gospel. I love this because I see myself in much the same way. Not just a servant of the Lord, but as a servant of the good news. I care about the proclamation of the good news. I live to tell others about the good news. I try to keep myself pure so that I don't dishonor the good news. I try to think of creative and clear and effective ways to bring the good news to my Jewish people and also to my Gentile people. Serving the good news is a big part of my identity, who I am, and the way I choose to live my life, as it was even more so for great Rabbi Paul. I became a servant of the good news. Paul was specially graced, gifted, and empowered to proclaim the good news, particularly to the nations. God worked powerfully through Paul's proclamation of the good news, and many Gentiles were saved and became part of new covenant communities. In fact, Paul's efforts and his teachings helped change the course of Western civilization and really all of human history. God worked powerfully through Paul's proclamation of the good news. Not only was Paul powerfully gifted to proclaim the good news, he was graced with the ability to understand and teach something else. The greatness of the Messiah. He writes, although I am less than the least of all the Lord's people, this grace was given to me to preach to the Gentiles the boundless riches of Messiah. I love Paul's attitude that even though he was, in my opinion, one of the greatest human beings who ever lived, vastly intelligent, courageous, zealous, a great scholar and theologian, dual cultural, able to function in Jewish culture and Greek-Roman culture, fantastic evangelist and congregation planter, apostle. He was also very humble. Despite his great insight, his wisdom, his authority, and amazingly fruitful ministry, he understood himself to be less than the least of all of the Lord's people. Probably because he came late to the faith and persecuted the early messianic Jews who came before him. Paul felt grateful, privileged, to be entrusted with these tremendous spiritual responsibilities. Although I am less than the least of all the Lord's people, this grace was given to me to preach to the nations the boundless riches of Messiah. Paul declared that Yeshua is the Messiah. No question about it. That was the center of his gospel, his good news. But this Jewish rabbi was also able to articulate the boundless riches that flow from the Messiah. The eternal inheritance that awaits us, made possible by the Messiah. And the boundless spiritual riches that are flowing from the Messiah right now. The grace upon grace. So that when one unmerited favor is gone, another undeserved blessing is there to take its place. The abundance of mercy and forgiveness. The depths of divine love. This grace, this ability was given to me to preach to the Gentiles the boundless riches of Messiah. And to make plain to everyone the administration, the working out of this mystery, which for ages past was kept hidden in God, who created all things. Paul was blessed with the ability to make plain what the Creator had been doing in secret all along. How Jew and Gentile come together as equal members of the new united humanity. Part of Paul's task was to bring out into the open and make plain what God had been doing in secret and behind the scenes all along. Next, the rabbi gives us revelation about more of the great things that God is doing among us. It's not just to unify broken, fractured humanity, but also to teach the angels about the multifaceted wisdom of the Creator. God's intent was that now, through the church, Messiah's new covenant community, made up of Messianic Jews and Gentile Christians, who are called out of a lost and dying world. God's intent was that through Messiah's community, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms. What is happening to Messianic Jews and Gentile Christians reveals to these powerful, intelligent spirit beings different aspects of the vast wisdom of God. The angels are aware of what's happening with us. I can almost hear some of these ancient spirits talking to each other. We thought we knew the Creator before this, but how little we understood. Because of these Messianic Jews and Gentile Christians, we now understand how much greater, how much wiser the Creator is. God is taking creatures made of dust of the earth, so weak, so frail, then ruined by sin and rebellion. The Creator is taking these ignorant, sinful mortals and rescuing them and forgiving them and redeeming them and unifying them and making them like us, the sons of God. like us, but even greater than us. What an amazing plan God is working out in eternity and in time. The Creator suffering for the fallen creature and bringing peace to the creature and then highly exalting the creature. Using the physical world and the spiritual world, using man's sin and rebellion, using His love and mercy and grace, God is creating a new community of sons and daughters who will live with Him forever. What an astounding plan. We knew the Creator was wise before this, but now we realize how much greater, how much wiser He really is. I can almost hear the angels saying these things to each other. God's intent was that now, through Messiah's new covenant community, the wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms. And Messiah is essential to this great plan. He's at the heart of this great plan. Paul writes that this is according to His eternal purpose that He accomplished in Messiah Yeshua, our Lord. Without Messiah's part in our creation, without His incarnation, without His perfect life, without His grace and love and mercy, without His pain and suffering and crucifixion and atoning death, without His resurrection and ascension and the giving of His Spirit, without His ongoing life and high priestly ministry, this great and eternal purpose would not be possible. God's intent was that through Messiah's new covenant community, the wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms. This is according to His eternal purpose that He accomplished in Messiah Yeshua. Paul concludes this part of his letter, in Him and through Him, in Messiah, through Messiah. Well, in Messiah and through faith in Messiah, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. In Messiah, joined to Yeshua, through faith in Him, loyal to Yeshua, we have a new, real, living relationship with the Creator. A relationship that the rebellious in the world cannot have. It's in Him and through faith in Him that people can approach God with freedom and confidence. Like a young prince can enter the presence of a great king without being afraid, because it's his father. So we can approach the High King of Heaven with freedom and confidence, because we're His sons and daughters. He won't be angry with us or reject us or scold us or send us away. Joined to Messiah, loyal to Messiah, we can approach God the Father with freedom and confidence. Paul began this part of this letter reminding the Ephesians that he was in prison, suffering for them. He ends this part of this letter giving them a godly perspective on suffering. I ask you, therefore, not to be discouraged because of my sufferings for you, which are your glory. It's normal for human beings to want to avoid suffering. Suffering is not pleasant. But suffering was part of God's redemptive plan for His Son. His suffering was necessary to redeem humanity. And in a similar way, some of God's servants, like Paul, may be called upon to suffer to help God's people. That kind of suffering shouldn't be understood to be shameful, but rather an honor. We willingly suffer for what is important to us. Paul understood that and asked the Ephesians not to be discouraged because of his sufferings for them, because they were necessary and because they brought the Ephesians honor. Paul's suffering showed the world that Messiah's community was valuable, important, and worth suffering for. My brothers and sisters, I don't think it gets much better than this, than what we're considering this morning. The mystery of the Messiah, Gentile Christians being heirs with the Messianic Jewish remnant, members of one great community, sharers in the fantastic promise available because of Messiah. This is so astounding. It reveals the wisdom of God to the angels and joined to Messiah. And by becoming loyal to Messiah, we can approach God with freedom and confidence. Amen. Let's stand.